You're only seconds away from totally understanding your pet. All right, maybe not, but you will be smarter. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest on the line, Dr. William Schultz, who is the owner of Schultz Veterinary Clinic in Okemos. Welcome to the show, Dr. Schultz.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Dr. Schultz, you are a very interesting veterinarian in the fact that you have a special interest in reproduction. When I first came out and met you in your facility, I was really shocked as I came back to my office and told everyone, who here has seen an x-ray of the sperm of a Great Dane? And I seem to be the only one who could say yes, that was true that day. How did this whole thing come about? Did your interest come from, and how did you get started doing it?
Well, actually, as a child growing up, my dad was Dr. Arthur Schultz, that was an ophthalmologist in Lansing. And growing up as a child, I had a huge interest in ophthalmology, and I still do. But it didn't proceed into human medicine. I came into veterinary medicine. And as I got out of veterinary school in 73, my main urge at the time was to do orthopedic surgery, and I still do that. We just finished a surgery about 15 minutes ago. And as life progressed in practice, our leash laws in Ingham County have become very, very good, and we have very, very few hit by cars. And so to become a board certified or really have a big interest in orthopedic surgery is a little difficult. But during that time in the 70s and 80s, dog breeders, Lansing has a very active dog breeder population, needed a veterinarian to do work with them. And a lot of veterinarians wanted to work with them, but none of the veterinarians were interested in assisting with breedings. And at that time, there was no such thing as a chilled semen breeding or a frozen semen breeding. In a chilled semen breeding, we collect the semen from the male dog, we process the semen by centrifuging, and then adding an extender to it. And this extender is some of them are made from egg yolks, some of them are made from certain buffers with sugar solutions in them, and they keep the semen alive. And we can ship fresh semen all over the United States, any place that we have next-day service with FedEx, or even two-day service. So we started doing some of these chilled semen breedings in the late 70s and 80s, and because we were getting very, very busy with that, and probably the only veterinarian in town really doing that, more and more people came to us, and then there was questions about freezing dog semen. Well, they've been freezing cattle semen since the 40s, and they've still probably I think 1945 or so. Human semen was frozen after that, and canine semen wasn't frozen until the 70s. Each species semen requires a different extender, a different processing, different freeze process. So if we try to freeze dog semen with the same extenders as cattle semen, it just won't work. Uh-huh. And so it took to about the 70s to get this to work. So in the late 80s, a company called International Canine Genetics opened up in Pennsylvania. And it was opened by a startup man that had been done, he had done some other work in business. He was more of a businessman. And the way he started his business was, they had a small dog, and they wanted her bred to a male in California. Well, at that time was you load her on an airplane and you fly her to California. Well, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, airplanes weren't as controlled as they are now. The baggage compartments weren't all heated, and a lot of dogs didn't make the flight. And so it's changed dramatically. It's very, very safe to put a dog in baggage now, but it wasn't at the time. And so he decided, well, we had to get semen to the East Coast from the West Coast and how to do it. So he had a startup company. There were two or three other very, very small groups of people in the United States doing this at the time, but this one had the best organization, and we had already been doing chilled semen with them for a few years. So I went out east to be trained to do frozen semen. When this was done, I was maybe the number 8th or 9th veterinarian in the country freezing semen with this company. And at that time, there might have only been maybe 10 or 15 vets in the entire country doing this. And now there might be 100 is all. There's probably two or three. We have, I think, three or four veterinarians in the state of Michigan that do this. Mm-hmm. Not even knowing. I figured, well, how do you freeze semen? Well, you take the semen and throw it in the refrigerator, and when it's frozen, then you get it back out. It's a complicated process requiring some completely different extenders than we use for chilled semen. So the frozen semen is initially processed, but then we have to do a sperm count. We dilute it. And in this clinic, we freeze it in straws, and each straw has an AKC number if it's an AKC registered dog, or and then the date, and then a company code for Symbiotics because now the company has been bought out. And then these straws are packed with the sperm, put over the vapors of liquid nitrogen, and then dropped into liquid nitrogen, and then stored at 350 degrees below zero forever. And we have used semen from the 70s, probably 5 years ago. So the semen was 30-some years old, almost 40 years old, and produced a litter. So we know that once the semen's frozen, it is good for a very long time, and we tell people to put it in their will because it's going to outlast them.
Wow.
And we've already had that happen in the canine world where it gets transferred to next of kin.
So, in other words, you guys are well beyond just clipping nails in your...
The frozen semen, and the really cute thing about this is if I've ever go to a party and people don't know us, my wife will always have them come up to me and ask me, what do you do? I'm a veterinarian. Well, what do you really do? Well, we do a lot of dogs and cats in our practice. Well, you know, what do you do that's different from other vets? I go to work on time every day. No, what is it that you really do? So we collect semen from dogs. We also do artificial inseminations with the semen, either surgically or transcervically. If frozen semen is used vaginally, it doesn't work very well. And back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s, we did timing on a female when she's in heat by doing a vaginal swab. And their vagina thickens because they only breed when they're in standing heat. So the vagina thickens for protection, and when it thickens, the cells that slough off give us a clue as to what stage of the heat cycle they're in. And that was all we had for timing. Well, initially, there was a frozen semen center here in Lansing, but their success was 10% or less. Our success now probably approaches 90% if we have a healthy female and healthy and good quality sperm. So
wow.
It's a real interesting process. But the transcervical inseminations were started probably in the late 90s by a doctor in New Zealand, Dr. Marion Wilson, and she developed a technique that we use a scope. We call it a telescope, but it's very similar to a scope they would use in knee surgery or abdominal surgery. So it's hooked to a camera, and when we know through progesterone testing now when the female's ready to breed, we take the scope, go vaginally, find the cervix, put a catheter through the cervix into the uterus. And I've taught this at a national level because when we started this, there were only, again, maybe three or four vets in the country doing it because the equipment is in the tens of thousands of dollars to do this.
So
most veterinarians won't buy the equipment because they don't do that many breeding.
Sure.
So, Dr. Schultz, I would imagine that you've got people who are serious about breeding who are coming quite a distance in order to have you take care of their animals, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we see Canada, Ohio, Indiana, the Carolinas, Florida. We have pretty much probably seen dogs from almost every state of the United States. And on a daily basis in our practice, we have people from at least out of the city. About 15 or 18 years ago range, we did a zip code search for our practice to see how many zip codes we were handling at the time. And we had over 500 zip codes on our records.
Wow. And I know that now you had mentioned that you were shipping anywhere that you could get within one day shipping. But if I'm not mistaken, when I was in your office, you were shipping to Sweden?
Yes.
So I guess it has gone international.
Well, there's a difference. The frozen semen we have shipped all over the world. We have shipped frozen semen to New Zealand, to Australia, to all the European countries, not to Russia yet, but to Italy. And a couple of the bloc countries that were originally Soviet bloc countries. And frozen semen can be shipped, let's say the breeding is 6 months from now, we can ship the frozen semen in a container that can take several days to get there, and then they put it into liquid nitrogen storage. So we have the ability, some of these countries have some very interesting laws and regulations and actually quarantine for frozen semen, which you have to scratch your head when you think of that. You know, this stuff's 350 degrees below zero. 30-day quarantine is not going to make any difference.
Right.
It could stay frozen for 1,000 years.
Right.
It's very, very interesting what happened.
And I'm wondering if in Michigan, you've been doing this since the 70s, do you think there's a different dynamics in the form of those breeders that are successful within Michigan as opposed to outside Michigan? Have you seen any change in the dynamics? You know what I'm saying?
The biggest change that we've seen is the quality of progesterone testing. And then that leads us, a lot of people have their progesterone tested at their local clinic and show up here for the breeding because we store semen here. When we initially did this, we couldn't store the semen here. It was stored originally in Pennsylvania, then California, and now Missouri. Symbiotics Corporation is listed in Guinness Book as the largest single repository for canine frozen semen in the world. And that is the parent company we deal with. Mm-hmm. When we originally worked with them, all the frozen semen we did had to be shipped there. Well, the problem is it's pretty expensive getting it back for breeding. So as a benefit for our breeders and the people that want to use this locally, we now store semen here. And they're stored in large liquid nitrogen tanks that I have no electricity running to them of any kind. So we just top off the liquid nitrogen. They're good enough to be topped off at 120 or 30 days, but we usually top them off every 1 to 2 weeks.
Wow.
So we're protecting liquid nitrogen we have very carefully. And even if the building were to catch on fire, these tanks are completely insulated, and they could take huge amount of heat on the outside of the tank without even warming the inside of the tank. They're near a door, so if anything ever happened in the clinic, we would just wheel them outside. So the outdoor temperature wouldn't make any difference at all with these canisters we have.
Hmm. Dr. Schultz, I would imagine that because of the expense tied to this whole series of procedures, that it's mostly people who have pretty highly recognized championship dogs that are getting this done, as opposed to, boy, you know, that was a really great dog. Why not save on a little bit of sperm so we can reproduce them at some point in the future? Am I correct in that?
No.
Okay.
What's very, very interesting is we have frozen semen on mutts, complete mixed breed dogs. Somebody has a dog that they love dearly. Cloning is a little out of the question. Frozen
right.
semen is in the maybe about $400 to freeze it, and then a breeding with all the testing and a surgical insemination, everything is probably close to $1,000. So people that are just wanting a litter, this is a little bit out of most of those people's reach. But for most winning show dogs, a lot of people are dogs that are being sold overseas. If the semen is collected while you are still owner of the dog, if that dog is then sold to somebody that, and it wins Westminster or it wins Crufts in England or it wins a giant show overseas and becomes very famous, you're still the owner of the current semen, and you can sell it for whatever price you want to sell it for.
Wow.
And so some of these go for huge amounts of money. But we've also had several that were unregistered dogs that were frozen. And yesterday, we had a phone call from a person that was really distressed on the phone, and their dog had died the day before, and they were looking for a clinic to try and harvest semen from this dog. And they brought the dog downstate, and they live up way up north in Michigan, but they brought the dog downstate, and from a dead dog, and he had been dead 20 hours, we harvested enough semen to do 6 breedings from this dog.
Wow, and it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's probably we're gonna end up publishing a paper about this because it's a little off the wall. But when we got the semen first, we didn't think we'd get much, and we ended up getting 2.4 billion sperm from a dog who had been dead 20 hours, and he had been cold. In the summer, if it happens, it doesn't live very long. But they were way up north, and it's very chilly. He didn't freeze, but he was cold, and so we could harvest semen from the testicles of a dead dog.
You know, back in the 70s when nobody else was thinking about doing exactly what you
right.
do, you had that creative, you know, explorative attitude to do that. Right. And right now, just what, yesterday you said?
This was interesting.
Yesterday?
It happened yesterday before
that,
our interview.
That spirit doesn't yeah. end, does it?
Well, the call was like, you know, I think your dog's been dead way too long. I doubt mm-hmm. it'll work. He goes, well, can you try? We will always try.
Yes.
You know, there's no reason not to try. And the same thing in human medicine. If anybody asks their doctors, well, is this possible? And if they say no, that's not a word we use. Well, we'll always try. And if we can make it work, then it worked. And in this case, it was beyond any imagination we ever had.
Well,
That'll be in the books.
Yeah, that is fascinating. Dr. Schultz, are there any breeds in particular that there are more requests for in terms of harvesting sperm than other breeds?
Well, what's interesting is the amount of sperm is usually directly proportional to the size of the dog. And so toy breeds like Yorkies and Maltese and some of the smaller, what we call the Powerpuff size breeds or the small breeds, if we do a semen collection on them, we may only get maybe enough to do a half of a breeding. So the larger breeds, it's way more efficient because, like in some Newfoundlands, I might get enough semen from one collection to 20 or 30 breedings. And so for these people, it's incredibly cost effective to do it. In the toy breeds, we have instituted a thing here where we will get the mail in 2 or 3 days in a row, collect the semen, chill the semen, save it. We have a special refrigerator that stays at 40 degrees, and we'll keep it in that refrigerator. And then on either the second or third day, we'll combine all those samples, and then we'll freeze them one time. So it saves the people a huge amount of money, and then we can do a freeze where I might get 2 to 4 breedings from one freeze.
Wow.
So we have ways to make this more efficient for smaller breeds.
It's fascinating. We've been talking this morning with Dr. William Schultz from Schultz Veterinary Clinic and Okemos. Dr. Schultz, we could talk for a long time with you, and hopefully we'll have you back with us in the studio so we can make faces at you.
That's exactly what we want to do.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much.
And I just have to tell all the people that every time you see a TV copy of a talk show, you get to see these people sitting in front of these glorious microphones, with some of them have that little screen to stop you from spitting all over the microphone. And here they're making me talk in my office on a telephone. I just don't see the fairness in all this.
Well, we really appreciate your coming on the show.
We're going to get you back, I promise.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rick and Lee, very much.
It was our pleasure. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to continue our conversation talking with Dr. Patrick LeBlanc from the MSU Veterinary Teaching Hospital, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Visit us online at 1320WILS.com or friend Mid-Michigan Pets on Facebook or join our fan page. Tell us about your pets, ask some questions, or just post some of your favorite pet pictures. Into the